In our text from today, St. Paul is dealing with a lot of issues within his own epistle, that is, the first epistle of Corinthians. We know, for instance, that there were divisions in the congregation. Some of the people had apparently failed to hear the admonition to be in the world but not of the world. Others did not have a clear picture of what the holy ministry was all about. There was a gross immorality that went unchecked. There were lawsuits between Christians. There was misunderstanding about marriage. The matters of Christian liberty was not clear to many, while the same was true regarding the role of women. The Lord's Supper was abused. People were ignorant in the area of spiritual gifts. And the resurrection of the dead was actually denied by some of the congregation. The issues of the past are no doubt the issues of our own day. Such diversity of beliefs and practices, of course, we experience even our own day. The pastor must deal with these issues within his own congregation. His role is far more beyond simply marrying, bearing, preaching, and the sacramental ministry, but to be the notion of a spiritual father who watches over his people to guide them into the true Orthodox faith that is founded within the very body and blood of Christ Jesus our Lord. The past is not any different than today, with the exception of the golden years of Missouri Synod. At times, pastors have late nights and long hours, and like a jack-in-the-box, the time to preach is at hand. Speaking in tongues becomes a very handy skill, especially knowing this is what I do best. But preaching and needing an interpreter is another matter, and no doubt concerning. And we know this to be a concern for St. Paul in matters of about preaching, that is, he uses the word prophesying or preaching, and the idea of speaking in tongues. St. Paul says that preaching is far more important than speaking in these other languages. St. Paul's point regarding the speaking in tongues is not all that complex as much as we hear it being read, and it seems to be a little bit difficult in understanding. But if we follow the language of St. Paul through his epistle, it is not all that complex. It is not something that's all systematized in such a way that it's very difficult to understand it. St. Paul prefers that one preaches simply in a very intelligible way, that all Christians can clearly hear the teaching of the church and the proclamation of the gospel. To preach in manners of a way that the hearers cannot understand is reflective, and speaking in other languages or speaking in tongues, as some of the people of the congregation did, was subject into the fall of sin, such as that of the Tower of Babel, in which the people ended up speaking in other languages that were not intelligible, and thus they were divided and separated throughout all the world. Or to fall into such enthusiasm that the whole intention is upon oneself and the speaking of some language that one cannot understand. This is the danger. The same Paul says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. For the speaking in a language that belongs not to the world, not to man, but we speak in the language that belongs to God. Namely, that language is revealed to us from heaven, namely through the Word, namely through the person, the very person of Jesus Christ. This is within the language of the church, which in its own self may be not intelligible to the rest of the world, but it is to the people of God, as such things has been revealed unto them, as they have heard the word of God and received it, as God comes to them through the baptismal grace in his body and blood at the Lord's Supper, the place in which God so graciously has given to his people. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries that are clearly reflective of the work of the Holy Spirit, and that is namely of Christ, as Paul speaks that earlier in the 12th chapter, for in one Spirit we were baptized into one body, and that body is the body of Christ, namely the church. It is interesting that Paul points out that preaching is first and primarily for the Christians, and then for the visitor. Thus, the sermon is first in the language suited for the hearing Christians and for their own edification. Thus, because the hearers, the Christians, the baptized, have been catechized, catechesis was the manner in which you were to deliver the language of God and to give shape and to form to the faith and life which we have received within our own baptism, that we may recognize and hear that of the Good Shepherd, that is, the language has been revealed to us from heaven through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it was also for the barbarian, for the pagan. In early Christianity, in the early councils, it says that the barbarian must be welcome to sit in the pew to hear the gospel to be preached. In other words, to hear the law and the gospel, as they heard about towards the end of our pericope here, as we heard today, about the law that is there to convict the hearer, that they may come to see the mysteries of the faith. The manner of evangelism, first and foremost, began within the life of God's people, that is in the church, as they received the mysteries of God. As the people went out, they spoke of Christ out in the streets and to all people about the mysteries and the wonders which they have received from heaven. But the main task or goal, if you will, of evangelism was not per se the conversion on the street, but it was to bring them to the church to see the mysteries of the faith, a language that may not be comprehensible to them at that time, but that they may behold the mysteries of the faith as the faithful gather around the body and blood of Christ, as they may see a glimpse of the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven as they've gathered within this heavenly feast, that this mystery of this faith, that it comes, that may come to them and may be revealed to them, that they may know the Christ who comes to us to give us life and salvation. Paul's presentation within this chapter is one that does not lack any clarity, but that of which he had preached throughout that whole epistle. That is, that the center of all in which we do is of the clarity of the proclamation of the gospel, which is in the person of Christ who comes to us through its preaching, and not merely from babbling or from other languages that are unintelligible from the congregation, but it's from the preaching, and the preaching that is centered in love, as he points out. That is, of course, that love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the love which is suited and found within the person of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.